Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ji Ka Dehai. So it's a great honor to have you, Gurpreet, here today to chat about this. We're now about 6 months removed from your brother being arbitrarily detained while visiting India for his wedding. There's a lot here to unpack, especially in light of what we just heard on the video when Prime Minister Trudeau and Canadian Parliament stood and made what were shocking revelations that the Indian government was behind the extrajudicial murder and assassination of a Canadian on Canadian soil, Hardeep Singh Nijjar, who was very active on many different Sikh advocacy issues. And I think there's a lot of different points that intersect here. One about geopolitics, but maybe more importantly around the fact that Sikh activists are targeted, not just in India, but abroad as well. And I kind of want to bring it back to your brother, who 6 years ago put this really to the forefront. And a lot has happened over the span of those 6 years. And a big round of applause to the City of Brampton staff who helped put everything here together. It's never easy for the staff to juggle all the pressures of folks wanting a perfect event. So we're not complaining when we say the audio is not working. We're actually very grateful. So Gurpreet, I want to take this from the top because there's a lot to unpack and a lot has happened over the 6 years. I remember just the other day, and I was kind of gathering my notes on what are the different issues we want to talk about, what are the different things we want to tackle, and there's things that I completely forgot about as I was going back and reading news stories. The things that have completely slipped my mind over the last 6 years, like really significant events. But I guess before we kind of jump into the nitty gritty of what happened and what was your feelings around that, it would be great to get your perspective on who Jagtar Singh Johal or Jaggi was. Because I think we lose sight of the human being in all of this. Jasveer Singh from the Sikh PA, he wrote a piece which I found very relevant in that Jagtar Singh Johal could be any one of us. Like anyone sitting here today, anyone that's watching, anyone that's kind of active in Sikh spaces could face, quite frankly, the same arbitrary fate that Jagtar Singh Johal did. And it would be nice to kind of get a bit more of a background on who he was as a human being. You once wrote, and I have the quote here because it really resonated with me. You said back in 2021, when we hit the 1500 day mark of Jagtar being arbitrarily detained, you said, "My brother is so many things, a husband, an uncle, a grandson, a friend, a blogger, a researcher, an Arsenal supporter. But he's not a criminal, and he's not been convicted of anything." The only thing in that whole sentence that's troubling to me is that he's an Arsenal fan. I'm a Spurs man myself, top of the table. But I was wondering if you could kind of jump in a bit more who Jagtar Singh Johal was. Like, what was he like in your family as a brother, as someone to kind of talk to, aside from his Sikh advocacy work?
First of all, Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh. This is the Fateh from myself, but the next Fateh is from Jagtar Singh Johal himself. Because I spoke to Jaggi on the 18th of October. I told him I was coming to Canada because Sangat in Canada wanted to know what's going on with him and the family. So this Fateh is from Jaggi himself. Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh. The whole family, everybody, and Jaggi, we all appreciate the support that you've been giving it to us for the last 6 years. Because without your support, Jaggi would not be alive today. I'm saying that with humbleness, and this is exactly what Jaggi said in a message he provided last year to the Sangat, where he said he's grateful for everybody doing Ardasa, everybody that's wanting his release, because without you guys, Jaggi would not be alive today. And I'm saying this as his brother, because if us, the Parwar, did not have your support on the 9th of November 2017 when the Free Jaggi Now campaign went live, we as a family were left on our own. We didn't have any support, we didn't know anything that was going on, it was just me trying to find out where my brother is. Instead, what you did, and around the world, was you said,
you're not alone. Jaggi is our brother. Jaggi is our son. That's the way you have treated us. I've said a lot of times, we lost our mom when she was 42 years old. But the pyar that we've been given from mothers across the world has been immense. We don't have our own sister, like in our blood family that was born, we are three brothers. But the pyar that we've got from sisters across the world has been immense. Because I've walked into Gurdwari, I've walked into different places, moms come up and say, Sada Pota Kitta, how is our son Jaggi? How is our brother Jaggi? And you can feel it from the heart that they mean it's ours. That's the kind of impact that you have had on this family to show for the last nearly 6 years. Next Saturday will mark 6 years when Jaggi was abducted from the streets of Punjab whilst out shopping. His car was intercepted and he was hooded, taken away in front of his newly wedded wife around 14 days after marriage. Now, we've got sisters sitting here, we've got brothers sitting here, we've got mums sitting here, and we know when someone gets married, it's actually a joyful occasion. You're so excited. Now, the funny thing about the whole aspect was, once my mum had passed away, about a year later, I got married. And for about 2 years before Jaggi's marriage, my wife kept saying, Jaggi, vyah karala, Jaggi, get married, get married. And she's like, then I can start doing things with your wife, we can go out, because my wife was only female within the household. And Jaggi would laugh, and this is the funny part. Tenu da suit chahide ya, main tenu udda suit le danda wa. That all you want is Indian suits. It would be cheaper for me to buy you these Indian suits instead of me getting married. But eventually Jaggi agreed to get married. So it became a very joyful occasion in terms of where my mum should have been doing all the rituals as you do, my wife did them as the motherly figure, as the papi, and it was a really joyful occasion. Now the reason I've mentioned these two things about my mum and my wife is because after my mum passed away, my nanny and nana, they stayed with us, and my wife brought in a little bit of happiness within the family. So otherwise it was my dad, my brothers, we would go to work, come back, but my wife brought some happiness. Then Maharaj's kripa, I had a son, and that brought some more happiness. It really brought Jaggi out. Jaggi would always joke about with my son, they had a really good relationship. And then my youngest one was born, and again, Jaggi bonded really well. And my wife's visa application had been refused because me being lawyer, but I wasn't a lawyer at the time, made a mistake in an application. And the reason I'm sharing this, because you're my parwar, Jaggi would say to my young, the older son, Sej, mummy chali, India, because a visa was refused, and even joke about it. So in terms of the relationship he had with the family, he is the middle brother, but I would say he's more intelligent than I am. I would say he's someone that has taught me a lot. Today I'm sitting in front of you. In 2013, I was clean shaven. I didn't have dari and I didn't have case. Jaggi was the one that brought me into Sikhi. He was the one that said, we shouldn't be going to other places. For example, when things do not go our way, people tell us, utthe jaake matha teko, do this and do this. And Jaggi would say, The only place you're going to get what you want is Guru Sahib. So Jaggi would used to bring in Kathavache, we would bring Kirtani into the Gurdwara, but he would arrange for them to come to the Gurdwara and then send me. So when they came, they used to think that I was the one that brought them. And then Gyani Sher Singh came one day to the Guru Ghar and he said, we go to all of these places and we ask. What we have in front of us is Guru Sahib. What do we do with Guru Sahib? We put our malla over Guru Sahib. And that's all we do, but have we ever opened that treasure? The reason I'm sharing this, because I think it's important, and this is why I think we are where we are today, with Maharaj's kirpa, with the Sangat support that Jaggi is alive, is When we open that Khajana, all of our answers are in there. So this is what Jaggi was doing with in Scotland, bringing Kirtanis, Hajuri Kirtanis that were in Darbar Sahib. Because you've heard of England, you've heard of UK, but Scotland is about a 4.5-5 hour drive from Birmingham, or about a 6 hour drive, 7 hour drive from London. So a lot of the Kirtani didn't want to come to Scotland. And what Jaggi would say, and this is, he's talking, Jaggi was a Munna himself. He only kept Dari case once he's been within the in jail. He would say, even if one person joins Guru Sahib, we've done what we wanted to achieve because we've got somebody into Sikhi. That's the kind of soul he had. And like for me to share this, a lot of people didn't know that side of him. A lot of people know of Jaggi because of Never Forget 84, because they look at Jaggi and say, look at the pictures he brought, look at the research he did. But at the end of the day, like Jaskan just said, he's many things, but he's not a criminal. Because 6 years have elapsed and not 1 ounce of evidence has been produced against him. I am a qualified solicitor and I have no shame of saying this. If it wasn't for Jaggi and my youngest brother, I wouldn't have an education, because after my mum passed away, they gave up their studies to allow me to continue to do my law degree and qualify, and they sacrificed it to work within the family business.
So you were mentioning the whole wedding, the humor around getting married and why the family's kind of pushing to get married. Eventually he does get married and he goes to Punjab. He goes to India, and up until he leaves the UK, is there at any point like someone sits down with Jaggi and says, "Hey, you mentioned this Never Forget 84," which at the time, nowadays I think there's a lot more websites, there's Instagram pages, and there's a lot more content that's being generated and put out there, especially over the last 2-3 years. But if I look back to almost a decade ago, 6+ years ago, at least from Jaggi's abduction, there wasn't that many portals kind of sharing the information that Jaggi was doing. So did anyone ever sit down with Jaggi and say, hey, we're going to India for your wedding, we're going to Punjab for your wedding, but you need to be careful about X, Y, Z. Like, did that sentiment exist at the time? Did Jaggi ever think about that?
So just when we need to go one step back, and the one step back is, in April 2017, the whole family went to Punjab. Because when my mom had passed away, she had went to visit Hujur Sahib. She passed away in Hyderabad. We wanted to go back to Hujur Sahib as a family, because that's what we wanted to do at the time. And it was Vaisakhi. We wanted my kids to see what Vaisakhi is like back in our end, because that's where our roots are. So we traveled as a full family in April 2017. That's when Jaggi met his now wife and they decided to get married. So Jaggi stayed in India till May 2017. Then he came back to UK. Then he traveled back to India in October 2017. So if he is this alleged person that he's supposed to be, then the Indians would not have allowed him out of the country in May 2017. And then they were also aware he was back in October 2017. So the simple answer to it is, nobody would put their family at risk by going to India, taking his nephews, his papi, Masin, etc. were also gone. He wouldn't have put all of us to risk if he thought there was any element of him being detained.
So when he was there, no one ever spoke to him, from anyone, let's say official from India side, that we have concerns about your website or the content you're putting out. Was there anyone like from the Sikh community itself that ever sat down with Jaggi and be like, look, this is a potential, or did he really go there with the fearlessness that I've done nothing wrong, so what do I have to worry about?
We have to realize we have the element of freedom of speech, and I've said this on numerous occasions. If we have the right to know what happened in the Holocaust, we also have a right to know about what happened in Harmandir Sahib in 1984 and ongoing. And in essence, I think everybody in this room and everybody watching, we need to know what happened in 1984. a simple fact, because if we don't, we are not doing justice to those that gave up their yesterday for our today. It's a simple fact, and I've shared this on numerous occasions. BBC did a documentary, Sonia Deol led that documentary about 1984. Me, Jaggi, my younger brother, and my nana watched this documentary. Now, after the documentary, my nana's saying, Santaji, see, kyon, see, why was he, what was this about? And the way the BBC and Sonia Deol had portrayed Santaji was, he was an Atwadi. That's the way he portrayed, that's the way she had portrayed him. And I said that to Nanaji, and Nanaji saying, nay. If Santaji didn't do what he did, we would not be here today. And my Nana is illiterate. He doesn't know how to read, he doesn't know how to write. That's what he told us straight away. So that whole documentary that BBC spent so long to do, that all went down the drain, because straight away, this was a picture that was going in my head at that time, but straight away my nana's told me, no, that's not correct. And I think this is where our history comes in, and this is where it's important. This is where our mothers, our sisters, and our brothers is important, because we can't take our children away from our history. We need to know. We know about the Jar Sebja Day, we know about Baba Banda Singh Bahadur. We need to know this because it's our history. Our gurus haven't given their qurbaniya for nothing. They gave it for a reason. Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji, we talk about Human Rights Act. Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji is the Human Rights Act because he stood up against injustices. So I think this is an element that's really important, and we need to keep drilling this into our kids and our families, that we need to tell our kids what happened to us and why we can't forget. It's the slogan, the name Never Forget 84, it has a high influence. We cannot forget what happened in 1984. I was born in 1985, Jaggi was born in 1987. We weren't born in that time. But see, when you read back your history and you find out what happened, it was unacceptable. And that's why there's a lot of people here. They're not here because they don't care. They're here because they have that dard for the pant, and they have that activism within them to be able to raise voices on behalf of our community.
So in 2017, you reach India for the wedding. And while shopping with his wife, Jaggi gets abducted. What was the first piece of information that came to the family that this happened? What was the family's understanding of what was going on at that point? And how long did it take to actually realize the extent to which what had just transpired?
So earlier you asked me the question, did nobody sit down with Jaggi and ask him about his activism? So 4th of November 2017, around about 10:25, 10:27 a.m., I get a call. I was in the UK. I get a call from Jaggi's wife. She's hysterical. Paji, he's been taken. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, unu lege. And straight away, I said, what's happened? I've got straight out of bed. And I said, what's happened? My Masi's daughter has taken the phone and said, people have just hooded Jaggi and just taken him away. We don't know where he is. Straight away, I've said, go to my Masi, because my Masi stays in Jalandhar and she knows the police, etc. So I said, go and find out what's going on. I've got up straight away. And the first thing that came to my mind was, we've had a lavish wedding. He's from UK. And this is probably a kidnapping. People want money. That's the first thing that came to my head.
So even at that time, it wasn't holistic activism got him in trouble?
No. But then, this is why your question.
Yeah.
So she, Jaggi's wife said, Paji, aajo, tusi, aajo, ithe, aajo. And this was Saturday, 4th of November. On the 5th of November, me and my youngest brother flew out to India. If we knew this was the result, why would I fly out to India? So me and my brother flew out to India on the 5th of November. Little thinking that the British embassy is open at midnight. We get to Delhi at midnight. And we went to the High Commission in Delhi. security guard said, sorry, they're open in the morning, we're not open at night. So, okay. So we had a choice, do we wait in Delhi or do we go to Chandigarh to go to Punjab? So we've driven to Chandigarh and went to ask them what's going on. I didn't know anything. Now, a fact that I can share, but some people won't deny, somebody had said, go and speak to this police officer. So me and my younger brother, we just wanted to know where he was. We were in Chandigarh, Punjab police headquarters. So we gave a false name, we went up the stairs. The person said, yes, we know you've been called here, okay. Went to speak to the senior police officer and he brought us in the room and said, what's happened? I said, this has happened, we don't know where he is, what's going on? And he said, if that's the case, I would suggest that you put a request in writing to, I think it was the DGP at the time. And we don't ever put anything off it. And he said, this meeting never happened. He goes, if you tell anyone this meeting, it never happened, and I would deny this. This is the kind of extent that we didn't know what was going on, what was happening. We were in Punjab police headquarters. Apparently, he had known what the situation was, but he didn't want to scare us at the time, but we were none the wiser. So we went to Punjab, went to Jaggi's wife at this point, who was also in hiding, because they were hell-bent on getting Jaggi's passport. The police, this was the extent of it. The police, once we found out he was in a police station, said to Jaggi's wife, come to the police station. And then they start sweet talking and saying, you've just got married, we'll show you who your husband is, we'll show you where he is, he's just behind this wall, just give us his passport. And I had spoken to her and said, do not give his passport. So she didn't give any of his passport and kept the passport the whole time. And then she tried to say, where was he? He wasn't there, but the police just wanted his passport. So that whole time, the police had said he's in Bhagyaprana. When we phoned Bhagyaprana, no, there's no reply. Then when I phoned the consulate services in London, I was giving them the information. The police station answered the phone, and then they said phone back in 10 minutes to them, and then they didn't answer the phone. So up until the 7th of September, we didn't know where he was. Because on the 5th of November, the lawyer goes to court and Jaggi's remand is granted. We don't know how he is, we don't know what's happening. 7th of November was when Captain Amarinder Singh had the press conference. By this time, everybody's heard about Captain Amarinder Singh accusing Jaggi of various crimes. I start getting calls from my wife, start getting calls from family members, for me and my brother to escape from India. Because most people in here will know, when they take one male member, they then target your next male members, that's what they do. So then we had to leave and come back to the UK.
So you leave at the point of the allegations, to a certain extent, are made public. And I won't get into the nitty-gritty of the allegations, but I think the stance from everyone in the community is at least that they're ridiculous. But allegations revolving around assassinations, being involved in certain organizations, and kind of intersecting along those alleged crimes. What did you make of those allegations?
So I think what you said, let's get into it. The reason being, there's a 1200 page charge sheet. In the 1200 page charge sheet, there's about 8 lines against Jaggi. And I'll read it out verbatim, more or less. Jagtar Singh Johal, also known as Jaggi Johal, traveled to France 2000/2013, was given £3,000 by a co-accused. That £3,000 was then taken to France. He gave that £3,000 to a co-accused, Harminder Singh Mintu, who suspiciously, suspiciously died in April 2018 in jail. That £3,000 was given to Hardeep Singh Chera.
That £3,000 was then used to commit terror within India from 2015 onwards. Now let's take it that, for example, if Jiggy's given this £3,000, at the most, he's a courier who has given £3,000 to Harminder Singh Mintu, who is no longer alive. Now, India has to prove that £3,000 was used for these murders. Now, £3,000, how far is that actually going to take you from 2013 and the first murder took place 2015-16? It's not a long way for that money. Jiggy's also been accused of being a member of Khalistan Liberation Force, which is a proscribed group. Now, the interesting thing is, Khalistan Liberation Force became proscribed in 2018 after the murders have taken place and after the arrest or the abduction. So at the time of all these offences took place, KLF were not a proscribed group. And now the reason I'm sharing this within the community is because it's so easy for the government to turn around and say Jiggy's a member of KLF. Now let's take it at the highest. Even if he was a member, they were not a prescribed group. Even if he's given the £3,000, that £3,000 could have been for anything. So that is the allegations in the charge sheet against Jiggy. But to date, none of that has been proven.
What does the family say? Like, you hear these allegations, and I'm trying to like understand kind of from a family perspective, because I think the community's reaction to that was, well, this is ludicrous, this is a witch hunt, this is they're going after a kid because of his advocacy on Sikh issues, not necessarily because he was involved in anything that was illegal. What's the family's feeling when they hear these allegations? Because the family's the closest, you're closest to Jiggy. You know what he was doing for the most part in kind of his day-to-day life. If not at a micro level, but a fairly macro level, you have a pretty good understanding. What is the family's first reaction to those allegations?
So first of all, I've been open, and let's be transparent. One thing I can't take away is being a solicitor, because you always think pragmatically, and you know that yourself. We can't, despite our human rights, we always have that we can't get away from. Jiggy did go to France, full stop, as fact. Okay, so let's not deny what is factual. And this is what our campaign though has been. We have been factual from day one. Our facts have not changed. And running the whole campaign, we have been truthful. This is what's happened, this is what's happening, and this is what we are predicting. So I would say, if Jiggy has committed these offences, and I'm saying this as his brother, then convict him. Give him a fair trial, convict him, and give him the death sentence. But do that. Instead, what you have done is you've tortured him, you've made him sign blank statements. You then had this so-called Kabulnama confession video, and you made it a trial by media. In the confession video, he says, I had Pai Sukha Jinda's photographs. Somebody wanted those photographs, so they came to Glasgow for the photographs. The langar wasn't good, so they came to the house and they had mutter paneer. That's the kind of stuff that's in that Kabulnama video. But the way and you've seen this, and everybody here has seen this, how India used these snippets. They said, Kabulnama, Kabulnama, Jiggy Jawal has confessed, Jiggy Jawal has confessed. Now people forget what's the substance within that information. And they said, he's confessed, that's it, game over. So, as a family.
But in reality, like, he just confessed to Mutter Paneer at the home.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is the aspect of it. Pai Sukha Jinda's photographs, yes. People have them. They are martyrs. They did what they did, and they did it with their head held high. They took the death sentence. They did not shy away from what they did. They celebrated the death sentence, and that is a fact that's within our comm. So when you ask about the family's aspects of it, is my nanny cries, they're over 90, Nana cries, and they're like, we lost our young daughter. We didn't want to see that. What parent wants to see their daughter lost? And now we can't do anything for our grandson. And we just want to see him. Just before anything happens to us, we just want to see where he is. So it's that kind of element, is jioneko skitawa, charge him, do what you have to do. 6 years on, you've not produced an ounce of evidence. Now, the crucial part of this is, just kind of is, the Indians claim they have 200 witnesses in each case. So 8 times 200 is 1600, because each case, the witness has to be cross-examined 8 times. From September 2022, when the trial started, we've had 15 trial hearings till now, that's over a year, and 12 witnesses have been cross-examined in 8 cases. Now you can just calculate how long is it going to take for the other 188 witnesses to be cross-examined. And what's worse, see these 12 witnesses, there are witnesses from airlines to say Hardeep Singh bought a ticket, Hardeep Singh did this, whereas all they have to do is show the passport stamp and say Hardeep Singh travelled, and that's it, job done. But they're bringing all of these witnesses to make it out as if we have a very big case. They don't. And where I'll say is, September 2018, there was a raid on 5 Singhs in the UK. That raid was 5 members that were supporting the Free Jaggi Now campaign. In that raid, they were looking for evidence against Jaggi. And the British police were there. Punjab police were in people's houses. And now why do I feel really bad? Because there was young children not allowed to eat, drink. There was an elderly mother not allowed to use the toilet. That's how much they were scared within their own house inside the UK. As a result, there is cases against Sikh Youth UK, Deepa Singh, that the Charity Commission have taken, and they've put him. They've put his sister through cases just to shut the campaign up, shut up activism. The question you've asked, but they're not doing it. You've seen Sikh Youth UK, they'll highlight whatever problem there's going on, and they do that, Seva. If you remember back what I said, thank you to all you because of your support and why Jaggi's alive. I was a spokesperson because I'm Jaggi's brother. Sikh Youth UK had the communications, so they were very easily able to get to different places very quickly. And then the Sangat were sharing Jaggi's posts all over Facebook, all over Instagram, and all over Twitter. It resulted in Diljit Dosanjh tweeting. It resulted in, I think it's Amarjit Singh Sohi, who is one of the cabinet ministers at the time, talking about torture. That's the kind of impact it had. And that's what social media did. So they want to try and silence him, but he continues to raise a voice, the voices. If we all sit back and we don't raise voices, unfortunately, the qurbaniya, the char sahibjad they give, the qurbaniya Guru Tegh Bahadur ji gave, is all went down in vain. Because there's one thing that's certain, and that's death. We're all going to go. But do we want to go hiding, or do we want to go standing up? So that's really important, I think. As lawyers, we say there's two things that are, one's death and other's tax, because there's always going to be a tax at it. But the element of it is, what do we want? Are we going to stand up against injustices? Are we going to leave this world having done something, or are we going to leave this world and say, it's okay, it's not my son, it's not my daughter, let it happen. And a Punjabi kahawat hai, saade ghar aag nahi laggi, kise hor de laggi hai, laggi rehen do. And I'm saying this gal because there's some siyane here jehdi samjhde hai that gal, that's why I'm saying it, and that element, and I know I'm speaking mostly in English, but that's the aspect. And I go back to where I started off, was ਸਾਡੇ ਘਰ ਅੱਗ ਲੱਗੀ ਸੀ ਪਰ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸਾਡੇ ਨਾਲ ਭਜਾਉਣ ਆ ਗਏ ਦੈਟਸ ਇੰਪੋਰਟੈਂਟ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਦੇਰ ਇਜ਼ ਅ ਫਾਇਰ ਦ ਫਾਇਰ ਇਜ਼ ਸਟਿਲ ਔਨ ਗੋਇੰਗ ਨਨ ਆਫ ਯੂ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਗਿਵ ਅਪ ਯੋਰ ਸੈਟਰਡੇ ਨਾਈਟ ਟੂ ਕਮ ਲਿਸਨ ਟੂ ਮੀ ਨਨ ਆਫ ਯੂ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਬੀ ਹੀਅਰ ਪੀਪਲ ਵਾਚਿੰਗ ਔਨਲਾਈਨ ਡਿਡਨਟ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਬੀ ਹੀਅਰ WSO didn't have to organize these events all around Canada, but they're doing it because they treat it ki sade ghar ag laggi hai. This is our house, and Gurpreet Singh, Jaggi and his family are our family. So I think there's an element of that, and that's one thing we can't forget. On the way here, I was surprised on the plane from London to Toronto, the film Motherhood was on. And I was really surprised ke Punjabi film Hakiya and Motherhood. And I learned from there. And what you were learning from here, Guru Sahib, everybody's given it, not for themselves, but for others. And I think that's really important when we, and that's the aspect of it. And I've spoke to Singhs today, I've been speaking to people. If we look on a dharmic level, Maharaj has done beyant kirpa on the Johal family through Jaggi by giving us a seva. ਕਿ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਦੇ ਮੂਹਰੇ ਆਪਾਂ ਅਰਦਾਸ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਸੇਵਾ ਦੇ ਦਿਓ, ਸਾਡੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਸਫਲ ਕਰ ਦਿਓ, ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਨੇ ਦੇ ਦਿੱਤੀ। ਜੱਗੀ ਨੇ ਸਿੰਘਾਂ ਸਿੰਘਣੀਆਂ ਬਾਰੇ ਲਿਖਿਆ, ਹੀ ਰੋ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਦਮ, ਹੀ ਡਾਕੂਮੈਂਟਡ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਦਮ, ਐਂਡ ਸਮ ਮਦਰਸ ਦੈਟ ਡਿਡਨਟ ਹੈਵ ਦੇਅਰ ਚਿਲਡਰਨ ਦੇਅਰ ਸਨਸ ਫੋਟੋਗ੍ਰਾਫਸ, ਜੱਗੀ ਕੌਰ ਦੋਸ, ਉਹ ਅਰਦਾਸਾਂ ਕਿੱਥੇ ਲੱਗਦੀਆਂ, ਉਹ ਮਾਵਾਂ ਕੀ ਕਹਿੰਦੀਆਂ, ਵਨ ਸਮ ਮਦਰਸ 39 ਈਅਰਸ ਔਨ ਆਰ ਸਟਿਲ ਥਿੰਕਿੰਗ ਮਾਈ ਸਨਸ ਗੋਇੰਗ ਟੂ ਕਮ ਬੈਕ, my son's alive, my daughter's alive, they still think this is happening. But that's what they've done, and that's the adasa they're going forward. And I'm proud of Jaggi. It's hard, I have to go and do things, but through Jaggi's seva, unne meri seva bhi lavati, mera bhi unne janam safal karwata. Saadi maa ta chal gayi si, a young age, ਔਰ ਉਹਦੀ ਕੋਕ ਵੀ ਸਫਲ ਹੋ ਗਈ ਕਿ ਉਹਨੇ ਪੈਦਾ ਕੀਤੇ ਜੱਗੀ ਅੱਗੇ ਨੂੰ ਕਰਕੇ, ਜਿਹੜੀ ਕੌਮ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਸੋਚਦਾ, ਹਜੇ ਵੀ ਸੋਚਦਾ. ਐਂਡ ਦਿਸ ਇਜ਼ ਅਨਦਰ ਆਸਪੈਕਟ ਜਿਸ ਕਾਰਨ ਵੀ ਟਾਕਡ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਸਿੱਖ ਲੀਗਲ ਅਸਿਸਟੈਂਸ ਬੋਰਡ. ਸਿੱਖ ਲੀਗਲ ਅਸਿਸਟੈਂਸ ਬੋਰਡ ਇਜ਼ ਅ ਚੈਰਿਟੀ ਦੈਟ ਸਟਾਰਟਡ ਇਨ 2018 ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਜੱਗੀ ਸੈਡ ਦ ਫੈਮਿਲੀ ਆਰ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਮਾਈ ਲੀਗਲ ਕੇਸਿਸ, but there's thousands of people in here that have no representation, and I want to take about 5 minutes on this if you don't mind. Jaggi said to Paji Manjpur, when you go to UK, I want you to tell me to start a charity, because there's so many nojwans in here that have no legal representation. And the reason this is important, because some people have no legal representation, some people where the family bread earners, they were the ones that were making earning and putting roti on the table. Now their families don't have money because the husband, the father is in jail. So what are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to put food on the table or pay the lawyer's fees? They can't do that, so they need help. There's other people here who have finished their sentences, but in India, And I know this is not the case in UK, but might be in other places. In India, you get a criminal sentence plus a fine. Now, 10,000 rupees is nothing for us. But for a family that's lost their loved one for 5 years in a jail, they don't have the money, 10,000 rupees is a lot for them. And if you don't pay the fine, you spend another year in jail. We have lost a lot of people sitting in jails for 6-7 years because they don't have the money to do the legal representation. So we started this charity off, and in 5 years we've done so much with it. Again, these ardasa go to Jaggi, because we have got nearly 80 to 90 people out of jail. So, some people say to me, you haven't been able to get your own brother out, but you've managed to get these people out. And what I say to them is, ਉਹ ਕਿਸੇ ਮਾਮਾ ਦੇ ਪੋਤੇ ਆ, ਕਿਸੇ ਦਾ ਘਰ ਵਾਲਾ ਵਾ, ਕਿਸੇ ਦਾ ਪੇ ਆ, ਐਂਡ ਨਾਓ ਦੇ ਆਰ ਬੈਕ ਹੋਮ. ਐਂਡ ਆਮ ਗੋਇੰਗ ਟੂ ਟਾਕ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਅ ਕਪਲ ਆਫ ਕੇਸਿਸ ਇਫ ਦੈਟਸ ਓਕੇ. ਭਾਈ ਮਲਕੀਤ ਸਿੰਘ ਵਾਜ ਅ ਪਾਰਟੀ ਯੰਗ ਬੋਏ, ਅ ਰੀਲੀ ਯੰਗ ਬੋਏ, ਹੂ ਹੈਡ ਟੀਬੀ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਹੈਡ ਅ ਹੋਲ ਇਨ ਹਿਸ ਹਾਰਟ. We tried to get his medical treatment. We lost in the small court, we lost in the high court, and we lost in the Supreme Court. We tried what we could. Eventually he passed away. Paji Manjpur phoned me because Paji Milkeet Singh pura ho gaya. I cried because I thought that was my brother. We did everything possible for him to try and get him his medical treatment, to try and save this young man. And he said, Paji, we tried everything. We went to the highest courts. We couldn't do what we needed to get done. And this is the most touching part. I then asked for his brother's number and said, I want to speak to him to apologize. Ki main maafi mangna chahunda ki bhara nu bachani hoya. When I phoned Milkeet Singh's brother, ਮਲਕੀਤ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ, ਭਾਜੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਸ਼ੁਕਰਗੁਜ਼ਾਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਤਾਂ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਜਾਣਦੇ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਇੰਨਾ ਸਾਡੇ ਪਰਿਵਾਰ ਦੀ ਸਪੋਰਟ ਕੀਤੀ, ਤੁਸੀਂ ਤਾਂ ਕੋਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਕੀਤੀ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਬਚਾਉਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ, ਬਾਕੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਦੇ ਭਾਣੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਸੀ. ਹੁਣ ਉਹ ਭਰਾ ਦਾ ਭਰਾ ਚਲ ਗਿਆ, ਕਿਸੇ ਮਾਂ ਦਾ ਪੁੱਤ ਚਲ ਗਿਆ, ਪਰ ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਉਹ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਥੈਂਕ ਯੂ ਕਹਿਣ ਡਏ ਆ ਕਿ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਵੱਲੋਂ ਕੋਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਕੀਤੀ. ਅਸੀਂ ਕੀ ਕੀਤਾ, ਅਸੀਂ ਤਾਂ ਸਿਰਫ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਸੇਵਾ ਸੰਗਤ ਨੇ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਦਿੱਤੀ ਸੀ, ਅਸੀਂ ਵਕੀਲਾਂ ਦੀ ਫੀਸ ਦੇ ਕੇ, ਐਂਡ ਵੀ ਪੇਡ ਫੋਰ ਦ ਲੀਗਲ ਰੈਪ੍ਰਜੈਂਟੇਸ਼ਨ, ਦੈਟਸ ਆਲ ਵੀ ਡਿਡ. ਐਂਡ ਦੈਟਸ ਕੁਆਈਟ ਇੰਪੋਰਟੈਂਟ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਟ੍ਰਾਇੰਗ ਟੂ ਸੇਵ ਪੀਪਲਸ ਲਾਈਵਸ. ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਹਾਈ ਕੇਸਿਸ. ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਅ ਯੰਗ ਪਰਸਨ ਹੂ ਵਾਸ 17 ਈਅਰਸ ਓਲਡ, and he was falsely implicated in a case. We had to challenge the courts in order for that young person to be found as a juvenile, otherwise he would have been in a jail with adults and not out. We managed to successfully fight his case to see he's a juvenile. We successfully got him bail, and now he's with his family out on bail going to court cases. You may have heard of the Nirankari blast that took place in Amritsar. Bhai Bikramjeet Singh was one of the accused in that case, and this is a case that you can search up. We went to the Supreme Court and we won. 2.5 years, 3 years ago, we got him out on bail. Now we have set a precedence with that case around India. People are using that case to get bail, and there was a high profile journalist in Mumbai that was detained, and even she got bail, and they're referring to Bikramjeet Singh's case. This is the impact that Jaggi is doing while sitting in an Indian jail. So if we think that India have silenced him, they haven't. Anybody that's listening today, I think what we can take away from here today is Jaggi's sitting in a jail. Jaggi has been tortured, he's separated from his family, but he has not forgot the Qaum. He has not forgot those Naujawans that are sitting in jails. He has not forgot about them, and he is still continuing his activism whilst the Indians have tried to stop this. Thank This is the element that we require. India cannot shut us up. What's the worst that's going to happen? We're going to die. I can walk across that road right now and a bus could hit me. I could not have made that flight. Anything could have happened in that flight. But at the end of the day, we can't stop. Because if we stop, and I'll just give you a small example. If you don't work, how do you feed your family? If you don't study, how will you get a good job? This is exactly what our activism is. It's in our blood. We've been given it from our gurus. We've been given it from our ancestors. That's why we have to continue to do this. And yes, I say this sitting here as the brother of someone that's sitting in an Indian jail. and I'm proud of my brother. I'm proud that I am able to advocate for him. I am proud I'm able to speak about the seva he was doing, because at the end of the day, this is a seva that Maharaj has given us. When we did, we got a hukamnama from Maharaj in November 2017. Maharaj's hukamnama was, Bani Paro, Tamadan Fateh Hongi. Get Sangat together, read Bani, and we will be victorious in this. In the last 6 years, if we look at it on a tarmac level, we have achieved a lot. What we have achieved in the last 6 years is we have shown that India is not a democracy. India did not care about freedom of expression. India will arrest, detain, illegally keep us in jails for as long as they can and as long as they want. And before I finish, before you ask me something else, there was a video of Jaggi that came out, and this was around when the protests were getting planned in July 2018 outside the embassies. And I said, Sangat ponchungi utthe, will they come, will they not come? A video we found by chance of Jaggi being asked a question by a journalist, Jasveer Singh, and Jasveer Singh Muksar. Jaggi bhai kitta, theek ya, chardi kala, that's his words. Tuhanu lagda koi insaaf milunga? His words, sikha de naal ki insaaf ya itthe. And this was Jaggi sitting in a police van saying this. What justice do Sikhs have in India? If he is not ashamed to say these things whilst being in a pinjara, in a jail, then why should we? That's the bottom line of where we come to. And that protest, a lot of people turned up. That video is kicking about. And then he was asked, did the torture hoya, what happened? He goes, don't worry, I'll be out soon. And this is July 2018. Don't worry, I'll be out soon and I'll tell you all about it. That's Chardi Kala. So I don't know what else we can say other than that. And he's still in that Chardi Kala. Haje tak bhi woh kehnda wa sangat da dhanwad karda wa ki tusi naal khade ya. This is the thing I can say. Hath jod ke I can only say from the parivar, dilo assi shukar guzar ya. With the support that you give, the support that you are giving to the family.
Yeah, typically I would cut off someone after a certain length, but at this point I was just like, just keep speaking. I'm totally fine with it. I think everyone sitting here is totally fine with it as well. A lot of insight, a lot of things that I think a lot of folks just didn't know. I myself did not. You touch on a lot of different topics there. You know, one is the grave injustice, the arbitrariness in which the Sikh people are treated. The fact that India's judicial system is used, that the machinery is used to just indefinitely hold Sikhs for as long as they want. It's very much a broken judicial system, not one that I would say is equivalent to what we see and experience in places like Canada or the UK. And then the third point you brought up was the community coming out strongly for Jaggi. And I know out here in Canada, it's something we watch very closely. I know obviously in the UK, it's something that is top of mind. And there's a lot of lobbying, a lot of advocacy that's happening. But then it comes down to the question of the UK government. And I wish we had more time, because you touched on so much that I think deserves 10, 20 minutes on its own. But I do want to hop to this topic of UK government and like geopolitics, because in a Canadian context, we're seeing that very up and close and personal because of the assassination of Bhairav Singh Nijjar. And it's our understanding that the announcement that Prime Minister Trudeau gave in Parliament is just the tip of the iceberg. There's quite a bit more that's going to come out. And one of the things that everyone watched, I'm talking about like the mainstream, I think as a community, more or less, I think everyone here is more or less in agreement with what's happening to us and the injustices that are happening to us and the hope of justice being a faint one for Sikhs in India. In that it's not one of like a question of like victimhood of some sort. It's us fighting for ourselves and making sure that we can continue operating as freely as we can in India and elsewhere. But one thing that has popped up quite a bit when talking about Bajrang Singh's Nijjar's assassination, for example, is, okay, will the rest of the world come to Canada's side to denounce India? Or does India's place in geopolitics as an important trading partner, as a bulwark against China, going to supersede what is an assault on, in Canada's case, a Canadian national, in Jaggi's case, a UK national? And a lot has been made, especially post-Brexit, of the UK's desire to sign free trade deals. You know, they kind of painted themselves in a corner there, the Tories at least. And how much will trade deals with India supersede the rights and the responsibilities of the government to British nationals? You know, you wrote back in 2021, and I quote here, the question is why? And you're talking about why hasn't the UK done as much as it has. You know, why is the UK government so placid about the life of its citizen, especially when you compare their actions to others imprisoned abroad? The difference is because it is India. I was hoping you could kind of jump into that a little bit more in your experience going to government. You know, obviously, you know, there's the work that is being done from the community, the legal aid kind of work that you have already mentioned, the work of the community to raise awareness. But at a certain point, the government does have a role to play here. So when you're going to the government, in 2021, we're now 3-4 years into this. We're now 6 years as of present date. So this is about halfway through the journey as of today. You go to the UK government, and at that time it was Boris. And I think the UK has changed the prime minister like 3 times, and it's absolutely nuts. But at that time it's Boris. You know, you're going to the UK government, you're trying to plead for what is a UK national, a certain responsibility and duties owed to that individual. What is the response from the UK government? Like, what is happening? As much as you can share behind like closed doors, I know there's stuff that you can put out publicly, you have put out publicly, but how much can you share about like the frustration of dealing with the government? And, you know, sometimes they might pull you to a side and be like, look, we got to close this trade deal before we do anything on Jaggi. Yep. Like, is that something that they would say to you in kind of overt terms?
So I want to, you've asked quite a lot there, but in terms of the legal system, yes, it's a maze. There's no doubt about it. But what we have learned from the Sikh Legal Assistance Boards, the cases that we have been doing, if you can pay lawyers, so I'm going to show you, give you an example of what they do with Indian nationals, and then we'll put that into Jaggi's side. So in the cases that we are assisting with, what we have found is more than likely you're not going to get relief from the lower courts. You have to go to the High Court. And what we've learned from there is, like I mentioned Bikramjeet Singh, I've mentioned Amritpal Singh, the juvenile case, is that you have to go to the High Court. There's only so much Jaspal Singh Manjpur, who's leading the legal team for Sikh Legal Assistance Board, can do, because he only practices at the low level. When you go to the High Court level, you need lawyers. And the thing I've learned, if you pay the fees, the jobs get done. So the victories that we have had is because we've had to go to the High Court lawyer and say, what's your fee? And then we've had a discount with them and said, look, we're just a charity. We don't have unlimited funds. What will you charge? And then they take that case forward. Now, we don't take every case to the High Court or the Supreme Court. We take it where we deem there's a legal argument. And this is something you would understand, Balpreet Singh would understand as well, that you only take cases where you know that you have a chance to have a legal argument and set a precedence. So what we have found is by doing that, by paying High Court lawyers, by paying Supreme Court lawyers, we can get those youth out of the cases. Now, we have taken on cases where youth have been told to put referendum 2020 posters up. They were promised that they would be supported. Now they've been left and sitting in jails. Nobody's supporting them. We've managed to get those people out on bail. There's people from Waris Punjab, two people from Amritpal Singh's, Baghel Singh, and there was another person. We've managed to get them bail, but it cost money. We can only pay when we have funds within the accounts. So there is another element for other than Jaggi that I want people to take away from here is Sikh Legal Assistance Board can try and help people get out of jail, but we need Seva to do it. Like we had the post, we had a WSO can only do what they can do if the Sangha donate. There's only so much we can do. The demand has came so much that we have people coming and saying, help us. And I'm saying to Paji, to Paji Manjpur, saying, Paji, I don't have the funds. What we don't want to do is take on the case and prolong things just for the sake of it. If we've got the funds, we'll do the job. So that's the legal system. What I have found is, and this is where I need our young brothers and sisters who are educated, and we had a call when we were talking about this, is there are ways of beating the Indian legal system, but it has to be done correctly, and you can do it within the legal framework, but it costs money. Now, the contrast to Jaggi's case is, Jaggi has been involved in UAPA. When you're under the Unlawful Preventions Activities Act, getting bail is very hard. There's a certain criteria. When you get to a certain stage, you can be granted bail. So I'm going to share this aspect. We were granted bail in one NIA case. Once we were granted bail, the Indians went to the Supreme Court. And they went to the Supreme Court at that time, and I'm going to say this publicly, and even though I'm a lawyer and I believe in the law of the land and I believe in the judiciary system, they went to a judge at that time who was pro-India. And the judge stayed the bail order, which meant Jaggi could not get bail in any of the other cases, because if you went to the High Court, they would have said there's a Supreme Court stay order. It took 1 year for that to go to appeal. On the 8th of August, I watched live of what was going on in court, Supreme Court. And we had an advocate with high standing in the Supreme Court, and he said, sir, my lord, I have read the full charge sheet up and down, and what I quoted earlier was in the charge sheet, that's all against my client. Even if my client has given £3,000, at worst, he was a courier. It was an expensive trip for him going from UK to France to deliver £3,000. That's it. There's no more evidence against him. The prosecution lawyer, who is one of the senior in the government, came and said, no, my lord, we have all the evidence against this person. Judge said, how long has he been in jail? Our lawyer said 6 years. And they said, no, my lord, there's not been 6 years, it's been 5 years and 10 months. Okay, 5 years and 10 months is a long time. And he said, okay, so 5 years and 10 months is a long time. He goes, yes. So they gave these witness statements, which are redacted, of these alleged witnesses against Jaggi. The judge read it and he laughed. He said, is that all? And he said, prosecution, appeal dismissed. It took less than 10 minutes for the appeal to be dismissed, but it took 1 year to get to that stage. Now, that was a very big victory for us, because if we had lost, Jaggi would not get bail. Now, we are hopeful we'll get bail in the other cases, 7 cases, and Jaggi could be out on at least bail in within 6 months, and then we'll proceed what we have to do after that. Now, what the Indians were clever, they were trying to deny other people bail, and they were saying this case is in the Supreme Court, and as a result, they were trying to delay other people getting bail. Now, the Jaggi Jawal case from the Supreme Court is being quoted in the High Court cases to give bail. So I think it's the element of setting a precedence. And I think that's important, that's what has to happen. So we did that as a family, challenged it, and we got there. So I think that whole aspect counts. Now the UK government question, I will come to this, and this is what I will do now. Yes, you're correct. I'm frustrated with the UK government. In January 2022, I met the Foreign Secretary. January 2023, this year, I met the Foreign Secretary. So I'm taking you right to the point. At that point, I felt, after the meeting of jumping off London Bridge, I felt at that point that we were back to the 4th of November 2017. Because the meeting was, pardon my French, shit. And I made that very clear to him. I made it to him. I asked him questions, which were, because the foreign secretary had done some research, he, his wife went through a really bad phase. And I said, I understand what you've been through, but my brother has been in a jail for this many days. What have you done? My brother, my father has been separated from his son for this many days. My brother has been separated from his wife for this many days. What have you done? What are you doing? And he said, we will raise this case. I wanted to meet the family. I wanted to have an open and frank conversation. I said, that's fine. I asked him the question, do you agree with the UN working group's opinion? He had no answer.
And the UN working group on said it was arbitrary detention.
Yeah. And he'd had no answer. I said, and you asked me this question, and I'll say this publicly. I asked him, me and the MP, we'll keep this between the four walls. If you deem, if you can say to me, Jaggi is arbitrarily detained, we will call for his release, but we're not going to do it in this way. It will stay between these four walls. If you're not going to call for his release, I want you to write to me in writing and tell me exactly why you're not going to call for his release. So he wrote to me in July this year and said he wasn't going to call for the release. Now, why I said I felt like jumping off London Bridge that day was, I felt everything that I've done is we just went back. Then I went home, Jaggi's wife's phoning, my wife's phoning, what happened in the meeting, what did James Cleverly say? I was staying in the hotel, stayed there, went to sleep at 9 o'clock, and then woke up in the next morning and thought, if I don't do this, who else is going to do this? And straight away we went to the next section. So the UK government have not been supporting Jaggi. They tell us they're supporting Jaggi by raising his case. Now, what does it mean, raising his case? We don't know. So the UK government say they're supporting the family. Jaggi's wife had to go through an immigration battle to stay in the UK. If this was within the UK government's hands, they could have granted the visa and not put us through this whole hassle, but they didn't. They decided to put her, refuse the application, take her to appeal, lose the appeal, take it for permission, lose the second appeal, and then make an application to the highest court in Scotland. And this is important because my colleagues, I practice in immigration, said to me, this is the first time they've heard of somebody going that level. Normally, the UK government will go after paedophiles or serious sex criminals or criminals with murder, because they don't want them and they want to say we've done everything we have. But for Jaggi's wife, they went to that level. So there was no support in that aspect. But the silver lining to this is, when Rishi Sunak went to India this time, for the first time, the UK media were asking Rishi Sunak, will you be calling for the release of British national Jagtar Singh Johal? He was asked these questions in the plane going to India. So what we have got to is now people are putting it on the government to ask these questions, whilst the government say we raised the case. Rishi Sunak was forced to raise Jaggi's case with the Prime Minister on this G20 trip. And I will say, I personally believe that the UK government are trying to get this trade deal before they do anything, and they are putting trade above human rights.
You know, I think to sustain advocacy efforts for 6 years is unprecedented. That's probably a very difficult thing to do, because at a certain point, people kind of forget and move on. That's always the fear. And so you brought up this question, and this is leading to the next point I was going to ask is, you know, you have a cold UK government. And along this journey, there was actually a day in the UK Parliament where there was a special debate on Jagtar Singh Johal. And I have a quote from a Labour MP. And again, just as someone from outside watching, it seems like the Labour party, the Labour MPs, have been pretty good on this topic. Like, they've been pretty good on the issue. Let me just pull it up here. So there's a UK Parliament debate in 2021. And Preet Gill, at the time, says about the fact that the UK government wasn't using the word arbitrary detention because that would require them to call for release. That's the protocol. And this issue stood out as, again, unprecedented in that it's arbitrary in almost every definition, including the UN's now, yet the UK government is still not pushing forward on it. And she says, you know, the reason this is important is because the Foreign Commonwealth Development Office have a policy that where the citizens are arbitrarily detained, they must immediately call for the release, and this is the issue here. Is this the government's refusal to respect it as arbitrary? You know, so the opposition is going to do the job of the opposition. That's not as relatively surprising. How do you feel about the media's representation of this case and the work that the media has done, or the lack thereof, over the last 6 years to bring more scrutiny on the government? And you kind of answered that question to a bit, and that this was the first time they asked Prime Minister Sunak before his trip to India. Like, what has your experience been with the media and understanding Sikh issues?
So I think the element of what you said, the Labour Party stance is, Boris Johnson at the time, Sir Starmer wrote to Boris Johnson, and Boris Johnson agreed Jaggi's detention was arbitrary. The Labour Party at that point confirmed that they are willing to work cross-party to bring Jaggi home. Their stance is still, Jaggi is arbitrarily detained and we should be doing everything to bring him back home. So that's a opposition stance is clear in that respect. Now, the foreign, you'll probably come to this because you're really good with your notes, but the Foreign Affairs Committee took evidence from me, and the Foreign Affairs Committee's chair, Alicia Cairns, once Rishi Sunak came back from India, asked the question, and she's on the same party as him. She's the chair of, and she said, now that you're back, will you be calling for the release of Jagtar Singh Johal? That's a lot. That's the chair of the Foreign Affairs Committee saying it. The recommendations by the Foreign Affairs Committee is that the government need to stand up. Where there's an arbitrary detention, they need to be calling for release and doing everything possible. So I think the stance is clear, but Rishi Sunak is just not doing what he has to in that respect. And the element of the media, the British media, to be honest, I don't care. You guys are the ones I care about. You guys are the ones that are going to help me bring Jaggi back home, not the media. The media in Scotland have been really good. They have been really crucial. Jaggi was known as a Scottish Sikh. A Scottish Sikh arrested in India. When the UN Working Group's arbitrary detention opinion came out, all of a sudden now Jaggi is a British Sikh. So the whole context changed on that aspect. What I have learned from media when I started off the campaign is you do these interviews, but they only take a snippet of what they want to use unless you do a live interview. So I could do a half an hour interview with the media and they'll only use a point that they want for 30 seconds, maybe 50 seconds. That's not what's helping us. There are some journalists that have been following Jaggi's case from day one. Because, you see, after they speak to me, it's like now, Sangat here are hearing live from me, fresh from me. That's something that they will not be able to take away online. They will not be able to take away listening onto videos, but they've heard me in person. I was talking to Singhs this morning, the two Singhs that have been looking after me since I've came here, and they were like, meeting each other face to face is always different because you get the real life experience of that person and what's going on. So I think the aspects of it is a Panth and Guruji that's going to bring Jaggi back. It is difficult. I'm not going to say it's not difficult. The campaign for 6 years, Sangat still supporting us, they're still standing with the family. It speaks words for itself. The Jiro Sangat Nalia, the Ki Karsadea. One other point I was saying was Shaheed Singha Singhania ne Jagira Bal Binga nahi hon ditta aaj tak. They haven't, they've looked after him. Yes, he suffered torture. He's alive, but they've looked after him. What did they do? The biggest slap in India's face was when Jaggi tied that gold star. You've said, I've tortured him, I've done this to you. And what does he do? He comes out with the gold star, starts keeping his dari case. That's the biggest slap that could have been given. You're trying to shut somebody up. And he's like, Tusi ta minu guruvan ho jor datta. So I think this is the aspect of it, and yes, we want the attention of mainstream media. We've not had the same attention as other arbitrarily detained nationals in other countries, but those family members have said to me they've never seen a campaign like ours, because our community always come out. Whenever you've asked, whenever I've done any binti, and sometimes, and even today, I get scared, Sangat Aungi, will they actually come? And then I've started realizing Maharaj does everything himself. I was saying today, Ajbi Sangat, will they come? And they were like, watch, they'll be there. So he does it himself. He makes the atmosphere and he makes everything. And one thing we're supposed to do is prepare for these kind of events. I don't, because Maharaj makes me say what he wants me to say. And when I'm in front of Sangat, they make the audience, they make you say what's coming, and it's coming from the heart. And you know, we can prep as much as we want from, as lawyers, but when it's coming from the heart, that's what it is, and that can never be prepared for.
No, I'm mindful of time. I you know, it's pretty crazy. We've been talking for an hour and a half. I don't know if it feels that way. But definitely doesn't feel that way up here. The final question I had is, and you know, you and I were talking privately about this a little bit, that one of the goals India has when suppressing Sikh voices, and this applies to Jaggi from over the last 6 years, we can come even closer to today, where you know, even the campaign against Amarpal Singh, for example, to shut down the entire state, to suppress and kind of freeze all sorts of rights, it has two roles. One is obviously the actual specific target, and the other is to silence Sikh advocacy and to cast a chilling effect on the willingness of Sikhs to speak out on issues. And it could be as small and mundane as even coming out to like an event like this and just being part of the Sangha, being part of the audience, to you know, sitting in the position you are and openly and fearlessly advocating on it. And the Indian government's hope is partly by showing Jaggi kind of languishing in their system for the last 6 years is, we can do whatever we want and you guys are better off just shutting up and just towing the line. Have you ever found yourself, or has anyone ever confided in you, you know, advocates from Sikh spaces and folks that are, you know, let's say a little more outside of advocacy, like they're kind of your day-to-day, they're not necessarily in it, they watch it because they're interested, but they're not necessarily in that advocacy space. Has anyone ever come up to you and said, you know, I'm scared now from speaking on Sikh issues, or this has made me think twice before opening my mouth and giving my opinion on something that's happening to our people?
No, I think the aspect was, I have had a few people, but like I've said today, if we don't speak up, who's going to speak up for us? And one element has been, our parents are now sometimes stopping us or stopping our kids to stand up. And I'm going to give you a personal experience here. I completed my law degree, and for 2 years I looked for a legal traineeship. And you need to do a traineeship in Scotland to become a lawyer. And without that, you can't do it. So you can do your studying, you can do everything. And like I said, 28th of April 2013 was the first time I tied a star on my head. And I never took it off after that. People started saying to me, you're not going to get a job. You're not going to get this. Why have you done this? I went to see people and they said, when we came to this country, we had the stara, we've had to take them off, we've had to do this. And I said, I had heard Gyani Sher Singh started reading Bani. I said, at that point, if Maharaj is going to give me a job, he'll get me a job. I got the job and I became a solicitor. Then Maharaj Dakhil, that person that had said, I'm not going to get a job, was in the criminal court for a case against him. And I was in the court wearing a gown with my Dara Prakash in front of him. Maharaj Dakhil, that's the kind of stuff it is. Second time was when I was doing my traineeship, my boss said to me, I want you to trim your beard, or I want you to tie it up. And it was a Gora boss. I said, I can't. I said, I'm baptized, I can't do this. So he said, have a think about it. Went to work on Monday, and at court, I didn't say anything. He got me to do what I had to do Monday morning in the Glasgow Sheriff Court. He pulled me aside and said, I thought I told you to tie your beard or trim it. I said, I can't do it. I said, you told me, you've got a choice, I choose not to. He sent me home. He said, go and get a letter from whichever organization you're from. What I did that day was, I went to Guru Sahib, asked Gyani to do Ardas, and got a hukum number. And Maharaj said, tu date are. What you're doing, that was a hukum I got. That later on that night, I get a call from a boss, come back to work. I went and he said, you're making a very big mistake. And this boss had bullied so many other people, females, non-Sikh, so many people, I stood up to him. He said, you're going to regret this. And I said, I don't care. Because how can I trim my beard? Je amrit shakya, main kidda unnu cut kar lama jaake. Je nahi, I'm not doing a food job that I need to tie my beard. I'm doing a law job. Why do I need to tie my beard? Again, I got through. I am sitting here. I'm successful in what I do with Maharaj's kirpa. Why have I stood up? Then I had an issue, and I'm sharing this because it goes to what you're saying of scaring people. I've been practicing in immigration. I changed the law in detention centers in UK because I went with a kirpan and they said, you can't come in. You have a knife, you can't do this. We'll give you a wooden kirpan and you can come in with this. I challenged them and said, how can you say a wooden kirpan is my kirpan? And we won. The Law Society backed me up. I've been going to prisons to meet prisoners, and then one new governor came in and stopped me and said, you cannot come with a kirpan to the prison. Myself and Balpreet Singh knows, Baman Singh in UK as well, we stood up, we said, we're going to challenge this. Why did we challenge this? Because we do not want our brothers and sisters having to not take Amrit, we want them to take Amrit, but not take it because they can't succeed in their jobs. We don't want our sisters who tie a dastar being forced by employers to say, you can't work here because you have a dastar. And we don't want our brother's case getting cuddled because they can't succeed. So we took the stance. And this is not me boasting about it, but it goes to what your question was, is if we don't take that stance, yes, we went through the difficulty, but if we don't take it, then our brothers and sisters are going to feel it. I became a counsellor in May 2022. I'm the first brown counsellor in Western Bartonshire. And he was Western Bartonshire, not Dumbarton, because you can't say that. So I'm the first counsellor. I'm the first person I walk in now with my dastar, with my Dara Prakash. In Western Bartonshire, it's mostly a white population. It's not Sikh, it's not Indian, it's not Pakistani, it's mostly white population. But this is what I want my brothers and sisters to do. We had the conversation and you said, what message do I want? I want my brothers and sisters to excel in every career path they get to, and I want them to stand up. So that goes back to your question. That's why it's important. You can't shut us up. Becoming a Labour councillor actually affected India more, because the Indian bots are saying you made a brother of a terrorist a councillor. My colleagues are saying he's innocent, his brother is a professional, and this is the kind of element we need to stand up to these injustices. And I want my brothers and sisters here to excel. I want them to do better, because the Siani that we had, they used to pull our legs. They don't want somebody else to go in front of them, because then their balibale goes back. But see, if you were younger than me and you were a better lawyer than I am, and I can help you get to that, I'm proud. I'm going to say at least my brother is doing much better than I am, and look what he's doing for the community. So this all ties in, and I'm trying to give a human life example to why we need to stand up, why we can't let India shut us up. And you did an amazing interview when Bainajar's death thing came, Trudeau's thing came. And factually, that's what India are scared of, because we are not illiterate. We are smart. We will take something, we will analyze it, and we will give an answer with facts. And to finish up on that point, Jaggi always says, knowledge is power. And it is. Having knowledge of any topic, you can go and challenge whoever you need to challenge. And you might think, me sitting here, that I'm intelligent, I'm what I am. I'll say openly, Jaggi is smarter than me. I am where I am because he gave up his studying to allow me to excel. So the very least I can do is stand up for my brother. Because another question that is asked, why do you need to go up with this hardship? Why do you need to do this? Yes, he's my brother. I fight immigration cases, asylum cases for my clients. Why would I not stand up for my brother? And I'm lucky, and we were talking again to things this morning, having a good partner helps, because my wife knows what we're going through. I came here when the Jaggi campaign started. For 3 weeks I didn't come home. I went, and you joke about this, you can wear your hoodie and your trackies, but I went to England from Scotland to speak to Nodjwan to see what we can do. And the first videos and photographs you see me is with a white Gap hoodie on. I didn't plan to start a campaign that day, it just happened. And so I think that whole aspect, she supported me, she still supports me. I came here, I don't have any issues. And at the end of the day, for me, I've got a question for my youngest son. When I came back after those 3 weeks, I opened the door, he said, Dad, he wasn't looking at me. He looked behind me and said, Dad, Jaggi chacha kithe hai? And I turned around and I'm thinking straight away, and now there's tears coming up my eyes now as well. But that's exactly what happened that day. I turned around and I said, Mainu ki jawab dena. And that was a 4-year-old at that time. So I've got to do this, and I will keep doing this. As long as I'm alive, India can't stop me. With what's happened with Bhai Hardeep Singh Nijjar, with what happened with Bhai Avtar Singh Khanda, people have said you need to be careful. But careful of what? We're going to die one day anyway.
I really wish we could keep this going. And that's not like a cliche thing. You know, we say that often when it's like a terrible interview. But this is actually very honest. Sincerely, I wish we could keep going. I'm mindful of time. And I'm also, I think that was a beautiful way to end it.